Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Fawning: Why the Need to Please Makes Us Lose Ourselves and How to Find Our Way Back, by Ingrid Clayton, explores people-pleasing as more than a personality quirk. It frames fawning as a learned survival strategy that can develop in response to chronic stress, conflict, or relational insecurity, and then quietly shape adult identity, relationships, and work life. The book clarifies how the urge to keep others calm and satisfied can gradually disconnect a person from their own preferences, needs, and values. Rather than condemning fawning, Clayton positions it as an understandable adaptation that once helped, but may now keep readers stuck in anxiety, resentment, and self-erasure. With a practical, recovery-oriented focus, the book guides readers to recognize their patterns, understand the emotional drivers behind them, and begin rebuilding a sense of self that is steady even when others are displeased. It emphasizes boundaries, nervous system awareness, and small, realistic behavioral shifts that restore agency without turning relationships into battles. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, understanding fawning as a protective response. A central idea is that fawning is not simply being nice. It is a protective response where appeasing becomes a way to reduce perceived threat, avoid conflict, or secure connection. The book commonly links fawning to environments where anger, unpredictability, criticism, or withdrawal made it feel safer to anticipate needs and manage other people's emotions. Over time, this strategy can become automatic, showing up as over-explaining, over-apologizing, excessive agreement, difficulty saying no, and constant scanning for disapproval. Clayton's framing helps reduce shame because it treats the behavior as an adaptation that worked in a specific context. The cost is that the self gets organized around external cues rather than internal signals. Readers are encouraged to notice when their body tightens, their mind rushes to fix, or they feel compelled to perform emotional labor to keep the peace. By naming fawning, distinguishing it from healthy kindness, and identifying typical triggers, the book sets up a more compassionate and accurate self-assessment. This understanding becomes the foundation for change because it shifts the question from what is wrong with me to what happened and what is my nervous system trying to prevent. Secondly, how people-pleasing disconnects you from identity and desire. The book highlights how chronic fawning can blur identity. When someone is rewarded for being easy, helpful, and agreeable, their preferences may feel dangerous or irrelevant. Clayton explores the subtle ways this plays out, choosing what others want to eat, what friends want to do, what partners think is reasonable, or what workplaces expect, until personal desire becomes hard to access. Over time, this disconnection can create emptiness, indecision, and a persistent feeling of living someone else's life. The book also points to the emotional fallout: resentment that has nowhere to go, exhaustion from constant monitoring, and self-doubt from never practicing clear self-expression. A key theme is learning to treat inner signals as data. Hunger, fatigue, irritation, jealousy, and boredom are not moral failures but information about needs and boundaries. Readers are guided to rebuild a relationship with themselves through simple check-ins that ask, "What do I feel? What do I want? And what do I need?" By practicing small acts of choice and preference, the sense of self becomes more solid, making it easier to remain connected in relationships without disappearing inside them. Thirdly, boundaries without guilt or harshness. Clayton focuses on boundaries as a path back to selfhood, not as a weapon. Many fawners associate boundaries with rejection, conflict, or being selfish, so the book reframes boundaries as clarity about what is sustainable. It explains that resentment is often a boundary signal and that chronic overgiving is not generosity if it is driven by fear. Readers learn to identify the moments where they say yes while their body says no, then to practice gentle but firm alternatives. The emphasis is on realistic boundary setting that accounts for safety, power dynamics, and relationship context. Instead of pushing readers to become abruptly confrontational, the book favors incremental steps, pausing before responding, asking for time, offering a limited yes, or stating a preference without over-justification. It also addresses guilt as a predictable withdrawal symptom when the old strategy is reduced. By normalizing discomfort and teaching ways to regulate it, the book makes boundaries feel less like a personality makeover and more like a skill. This topic supports readers in keeping relationships while changing the role they play within them. Fourthly, regulating the nervous system and tolerating displeasure. A distinctive challenge for people who fawn is the intense distress that arises when someone is unhappy. The book emphasizes that recovery requires building tolerance for others' discomfort without rushing to fix it. Clayton connects this to nervous system activation. The body reads disapproval as danger, leading to appeasing behaviors that restore short-term relief but reinforce the cycle long-term. The solution is not willpower alone. Readers are encouraged to develop regulation practices that help them stay present during tension, such as grounding, slowing speech, breathing, and noticing the urge to perform. The book also promotes reality testing, asking whether the situation is truly unsafe, whether the relationship can withstand disagreement, and what the cost is of abandoning oneself again. By practicing small exposures to safe conflict, like stating a preference or declining a request, readers expand their window of tolerance. Over time, they can experience a new lesson. Someone can be disappointed and the world does not end. The relationship may remain intact and self-respect grows. This topic is crucial because it targets the physiological engine that keeps fawning automatic. Lastly, rebuilding authentic relationships and a sustainable self, the book moves beyond individual coping to the relational impact of fawning. When someone habitually appeases, relationships can become imbalanced, with one person managing harmony and the other receiving unspoken caretaking. Clayton examines how this can attract controlling dynamics, enable emotional inconsistency, or create friendships that depend on constant availability. Recovery involves updating relationship standards and practicing honest communication. Readers learn to speak from ownership rather than accusation, to name needs early, and to stop mind reading and covert contracts. The book also suggests that authenticity may change social circles. Some people respond well to clearer boundaries and deeper honesty, while others resist because they benefited from the old pattern. This is presented as information rather than failure. A sustainable self includes routines that support emotional steadiness, a values-based approach to decisions, and commitments that reflect genuine capacity. The goal is not to become less caring, but to care without self-abandonment. By aligning actions with values and needs, readers can cultivate relationships where support is mutual and where kindness is chosen rather than compelled by fear. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who recognize themselves in chronic people-pleasing, conflict avoidance, overfunctioning in relationships, or feeling responsible for everyone's comfort. It can also help those who suspect their niceness is fueled by anxiety, past relational instability, or a fear of rejection. The main benefit is that it reframes fawning as an understandable survival strategy, which reduces shame and makes change possible. By connecting behavior to nervous system patterns and learned beliefs, the book gives readers a practical map for rebuilding self-trust, noticing internal signals, setting boundaries in doable steps, tolerating guilt and others' displeasure, and choosing relationships that support authenticity. In everyday life, these skills can translate into less burnout, clearer decision-making, healthier intimacy, and more confidence at work and at home. Compared to many general boundary or assertiveness guides, this book stands out by centering the inner mechanics of appeasement and the gradual loss of identity it can cause. It does not rely on tough love or simplistic scripts. Instead, it offers a compassionate framework and steady practices that can make lasting change feel safe enough to attempt. For readers ready to stop performing for approval, it is a worthwhile purchase. If you would like to support Ingrid Clayton, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.